الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد. اللهم يا مسبب الأسباب ومفتح الأبواب وهذه الحالين توكلت عليك رب العالمين وفوض أمري إلى الله إن الله بصير بالعباد. My dear brothers, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. If you remember the first Friday of this blessed month of Ramadan, I was here thanks to your warm reception and cooperation. And after thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then to the efforts of Brother Hifdh al-Rahman Jazallah Khair and the Office of Islamic Education Foundation, we talked about Ramadan in the Bible, meaning there are so many biblical prophecies that foretold before the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before the time of Islam, as to what is going to happen during the month of Ramadan. The first week of Ramadan, on the first Friday, the first day I believe it was, we touched on one prophecy among so many prophecies. But don't worry, I'm not going to deal with the rest this day. We're just going to touch a few more other prophecies inshallah within the half an hour that we have. If you remember, what was the first prophecy from what book in the Bible? I'm testing if you were awake. What prophecy we touch on the Bible? Isaiah chapter what? Yeah, verse 23, the last chapter, 66, mashallah, alhamdulillah. So, that was the first prophecy we dealt with, because it was suited to the first day of Ramadan. And I'm not going to go back to it. If you missed that talk and you have access to the internet, go to YouTube and type Ramadan in the Bible. You will be able to watch that half an hour. And again, may Allah reward Brother Hafs Jazallah Khair for filming it and reward and uploading it online. Jazallah Khair, big time. So today we will be dealing with a few more prophecies about things that the prophets of the children of Israel at the time told their people on behalf of their Lord that it shall take place in due time. And we will come to know that these things actually happened in Ramadan. So this means Ramadan is in the Bible. To begin with, I want to ask you, I want to see how many of you remember stories from the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is the night, what is the name of the night in which the Prophet received the first revelation? What is that night called? What is that night called? You know the teacher, tell them. Laylatul Qadr, the night of Qadr, right? The night of power, they translate it sometimes. So the first night the Prophet, peace be upon him, received the revelation, it was Laylatul Qadr, one of the nights in the last 10 days of Ramadan. Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was sent down. What verse is that? Chapter 2, verse 185. Yes, alhamdulillah. Okay, so what happened that night? He received Archangel Gabriel, appeared to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what was the first thing Jibreel alayhi salam, peace be upon him, told Muhammad? What? Read, right? And what was the reply Jibreel heard from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? I cannot read. I cannot read. And then the order was repeated. Read. And then again, the Prophet said, I cannot read, because he was an illiterate person. He couldn't read or write, peace be upon him. So the revelation came, he was commanded to read, but he wasn't able to read. That was his response, because he thought the angel was asking him to read from a book. Now, is this in the Bible? And yes, and by the way, I have to confess, I heard this prophecy first being taught at a Bible class by Abdullah Sassi in the year 1988. I'm just cheating. I'm the student who's cheating his teacher. Now that I want it. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair. So, This is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 29, beginning with verse 12. And this is an actual Bible printed in the United States of America, purchased in America, not printed in Saudi Arabia. We did not fabricate this Bible. Right? So the prophecy goes to say, I will read it first in Arabic for the benefit of Arab Christians who might be watching this, inshallah. وصارت لكم رؤيا الكل مثل كلام السفر المخدوم الذي يدفعونه لحامل الكتاب فيقولون له اقرا هذا فيقول لا اعرف الكتاب. In the Arabic Bible, they did a trick. They changed it from I do not know how to read into I do not know how to write. But in every other Bible, including the Gallic Bibles, the response is I do not know how to read. Now let's read the English Bible to see the trick the Arab Christians are playing on their congregation. For you, this whole vision, this prophecy, is nothing but words sealed in a scroll. The prophecy is like words sealed in a scroll. You know a scroll? When you write on a page and you fold it, that's a scroll. Right? It's like that. And if you give the scroll that contains the word of God, if you give the scroll to someone who can read and say, read this please, they will answer, I cannot, it is sealed. And the prophecy goes on to say, or, and listen very carefully, or if you give the scroll to someone who cannot read and say, read this, then he will answer, I do not know how to read. So there's a prophecy in the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, verse 12, that the book will be given to a person who can read, but the person will say, it's sealed. Meaning, it is not meant for him to read it. He's not the man. It's sealed. He's not chosen, in other words. But then, it will be given to the person who cannot read, to read, and he will say, I cannot read. I've been asking, and I'm seeking your help to ask your fellow Christian friends when you go home, the born-again Christians, the evangelical, the pastors, the ministers, the rabbis, has this prophecy been fulfilled? Every time we ask them this question, they start scratching their head. You're starting to see this, literally. Where do you get this from? Are you a bookman? I say, I don't know. I have to go to the senior father, church father. I have to go to the bishop. And they never come back. I said, listen, man, this prophecy has been fulfilled. 1400 years ago, Muhammad, peace be upon him, was commanded to read, and he said, I cannot read. Why can't you admit that this prophecy fits what happened to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on that glorious night in the cave of Hira, on Jabal al-Nur, the mountain of light, and Laylat al-Qadr in Ramadan. So this is one more prophecy about Ramadan in the Bible, because the Quran was sent down in Ramadan. This is what happened in that night. And again, we read. Then, let's see, another prophecy, very quickly. From also the book of Isaiah, and as I said in the first talk, the book of Isaiah is one of the most important books of the Bible. He is one of the senior prophets of Bani Israel, the children of Israel. And his book, the book of Isaiah, is regarded by Christians as the fifth gospel. They have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, four gospels. But they call the book of Isaiah the fifth gospel. This is how important the book of Isaiah to both Jews and Christians. So we're not quoting them from any book. Why is this important to you? Because most of you, I can see, you are new to Islam, right? How many of you are new to Islam? Meaning, you were not a Muslim and now you are a Muslim. You chose to bring Islam. People in hand. The overwhelming majority, Bismillah, mashallah, Allah, right? The overwhelming majority, Alhamdulillah, may Allah keep you steadfast and bless you and your children. Alhamdulillah. Why we need all this is during Ramadan or whatever is left of Ramadan, you have family members who are still not Muslim, right? Maybe your wife, maybe your brothers and sisters and everybody. And do not wait for them to come and attack or make fun or challenge you or want to get you back. Come on, man, Jesus died for your sins. You don't need to starve yourself and not eat and not food and all that. Come back. Don't wait to be on the defense. So you always, you know, have to defend your faith and your choice. Or they bring you, you go back home, they bring the church father of the entire village to convince you back. Go on the offense, but in a nice way. You know? Go reach out to them. Go tell to your family members. Why I'm fasting Ramadan? What's happening? Listen, did you know that what is happening in Ramadan and what happened during Ramadan is also in our Bible? What? Get out of here. No, relax. I'll make you a cup of lemon, inshallah. I won't drink, but you can. And with ice, big ice cubes for you to cool. And let's talk. You need this. You, newcomers to Islam, to save your families, inshallah. You need to talk to them and tell them that. Don't be shy. This is the language they know all their life. Bible, Bible, Bible. Biblos, Biblos, Bible, Bible. Yeah? Every Sunday, carrying the Bible to the church. Going to Bible. He knows Bible. So, it's at the back of his mind. Now, how are you going to talk to a person like that? Especially if he's a born-again Christian. Staunch. Or into Christianity. How are you going to convince him or make him think? Use his own Bible to help him open his eyes. So, again, in Isaiah, chapter 33, beginning with verse 15, we read, those who walk righteously. Actually, in many translations, instead of speaking in plural, and this is one of the other tricks that some Christians play in the Bible, this translation applied the plural when most translation is talking about one person, a single person. So it says, he who will walk righteously, who is he? Carry on. And speak what is right, who reject gain from extortion, and keep his hands from accepting bribes. He's a good man. Look at his qualities in the Bible. Who is he? Who is the Bible talking about? Who stopped his ears against plot of murder? He does not plot against people to kill them. You know, with other people. Who is he? What are you talking about? And shut his eyes against contemplating evil. He won't look at evil. If he sees evil, he looks the other way. And then it says, whose refuge, this person who is described with all these good qualities, he whose refuge, his refuge, will be in the mountain tops. This great person, this good person, with all these qualities, where shall we find him? He will be on the mountains seeking refuge. I'm asking you, when the Prophet, peace be upon him, received the first revelation, where was he? In Hawaii? By the beach? In a valley? Where? On the mountain, in Cape Hera. What was he doing there? That was the only way he knew how to worship the Creator. Because he never prostrated or worshipped any of the idols of the false gods of his people. Peace be upon him. He never ever, from the time of his birth, he never indulged in all this pagan stuff, his people, the Meccan people, the tribe of Quraysh. So he withdrew himself from Mecca city at the time, and he would go to a mountain nearby, overlooking Mecca, go to the cave every night, every other night, especially during the month of Ramadan, and pray to the Almighty to guide him. So, his refuge was where? He took refuge from all this to where? To a mountain. The Bible is talking about such a great man whose refuge will be in the mountains. Right? His head, his bread will be supplied. God will provide for him. and water will not fail him. Don't worry about him. God will provide for him. So again, we are asking the rabbis, because this is in the Old Testament, and they believe in Isaiah, we ask the pastors, who is this person who's refuge in the mountains with all these good qualities? No answer. Again, scratching their head, I'll get back to you when I ask my chief rabbi. Inshallah, ukra malesh, like many Saudis here. Our IBM system is not Saudi exclusive. You know? Inshallah, bukra, tomorrow, and then he never comes and says, sorry, malesh. Now, believe me, even Jews and Christians, they have the same system. Inshallah, I'll come back to you. Bukra, tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. Where are you, man? You promised me I've been waiting. Malesh, sorry. The same system everywhere, subhanAllah. Right. And then another prophecy. Very quickly. Page 1762. Right. Yep, there's it. Now, we go to the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. It's the last book of the Bible in the New Testament, the book of Revelation. And I can see Brother Abdullah's sense of big smile on his face, because I'm also cheating this. And I learned from him. I remember that class very vividly. Alhamdulillah, it was in Ramadan. And he was talking about Quran in the Bible during Ramadan. It says here in chapter 5 in the book of Revelation, I'm reading, then I saw in the right hand of him, in a vision John is supposed to have seen, in a dream he saw, then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll. Remember, in Isaiah, a scroll was given to the person who cannot read, and he said, I cannot read. Now John, in a vision, he's seeing a scroll in the right hand of the throne, with writing on both sides, and sealed with seven seals. You remember? Sealed with seven seals at the back. Brother Abdullah said so, you know, many years back. He held the Quran to the students of the class. I was one of them. And he asked somebody to come forward, because, you know, the book of John was written in what language? Do you know? The book of Revelation. In Greek. In ancient Greek. And the Greeks wrote from left to right. So if you pick up a Greek book, you will open it from the left side. But if you read Arabic, like the Quran, you will open it from right, because we write from right to left, opposite to the way the Greek people write and read. So to a Greek person, if I pick up a book, a Greek-speaking person, a Westerner person, a European, if I pick up a book, and he doesn't know what book I'm holding, and he sees me open it like this, from right side, he will think, hey, what's wrong with this man opening the book from the back? Maybe he wants to look the references. You have to open the book from here, right? English book, you open from that side. But this guy is opening the book from the back. Yes, because the beginning of the Quran is from this side. And then, as soon as you open the Quran, the first chapter is called Surah Al-Fatiha. How many verses?
Seven
verses. You know? There is it. Zoom in. Zoom in, brother, please. Show them. This is the first chapter of the Holy Quran. We opened it from the back. To the Greek, it's from the back. Right? And it has seven verses. Each verse sealed. Seven seals. And a scroll with seven seals at the back. So, again, if this is not a fulfillment of the prophecy that you have of this vision that John had, where is the fulfillment, sir? Where is that scroll that has seven seals at the back. No, no, you're trusting my Bible. Okay, okay. It's your Bible. Please show me. I don't know. Do they have dandruff? I don't know. Always like, I will get back to you. Okay, inshallah, book Ramadesh. Same system. They don't get back to us. Same system. Where is this book with seven seals at the back? If it's not the Quran, if it's not Al-Fatiha. No. And then we go to one more prophecy, and I'll end with that, inshallah. With that, it will be my half hour will be up, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala. And then we can call it a day after that. Yeah, there's it. Okay. The Bible also talked about the Quran in details. We all know that when the Quran came down on the person of the Prophet ﷺ, it did not all come at once on him, right? He only received a few verses, and then in the course of 23 years, the Quran was complete, right? We all know that. Some of the verses were revealed in the holy city of Mecca. Some surahs, chapters were revealed in Mecca. And these chapters and verses are called Meccan, Surah Makkiyah, Meccan chapters. And then when he migrated to Medina, the city of Medina, more verses and chapters were revealed there, and those are called Medinite, Medina, Madani in Arabic, Surah Madani. So somewhere in Mecca, somewhere in Medina, and you know, they all came in bits and pieces, and the Quran was compiled into one volume later on. The whole 114 chapters. But in the course of 23 years, and during the life of the Prophet ﷺ, before he passed away, the whole Quran was complete. Right, we all know that. Now listen to what the Bible is saying. In this prophecy, we will hear of the Quran, the Bible describes about the language of the Quran, the new revelation, and how it's revealed in pieces here and there, not all at once. This is also from the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, beginning with verse 10. It reads, "For it is, do this, do that." God is talking to Isaiah. This is what's going to happen. "Do this, do that. A rule for this, a rule for that. A little here, a little there." What is he talking about? Let's continue to understand. "Verily, well then in the future, who with foreign lips," listen very carefully, "in the future, with foreign lips," meaning a foreign language, another language. Isaiah, what language Isaiah was talking to his people? Hebrew. Okay? But God was talking to Isaiah to tell them in their own language, "In the future, I, God, will talk to you, Bani Israel, children of Israel, in a different tongue, in a new language." So he says, "Verily, well then, with foreign lips and strange tongues, God will speak to his people." And then the verse before, he says, it will be like this. One rule after one rule, one command after one command, a little here, a little there. In a different tongue, God will speak to his people in the future. Then, so this verse is describing how the Quran was revealed. One command here, one command there, one rule after another rule, a little here in Mecca, a little there in Medina. And then in what language the Quran is revealed? Arabic. A different tongue than Hebrew. If I speak to a Hebrew speaking person, I would require a translator like this brother, mashallah. He won't understand what I'm talking. If a Jewish person speaking Hebrew talks, I wouldn't understand what he's saying. He could be swearing me and I wouldn't know. I just keep smiling. I would require a translator. He would require a translator to understand me, and I would require a translator to understand him. Although Hebrew and Arabic are sister languages, both of the Semitic languages. But we don't understand each other. When a Jew and an Arab talks, we don't understand each other. So God said, with a new language, with a different tongue, I will talk to my people. Again, Rabbi, has this prophecy been fulfilled? Did God talk to you with a different language? Get out. This time, no time for scratching it. I believe they just showed me the door. In America, at synagogues, in Canada, in Australia, in UK, in South Africa, get out. Rabbi, please, this is your Bible, explain to me. Get out. I go to the priest, to the church father, to the born again Christian, to the evangelical, to the missionary. So, is this a prophecy? Yes, it is a prophecy. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't be emotional. He's happy. He's excited. Has it been fulfilled? Did God talk to you in a different tongue to the Bani Israel, to the children of Israel? I'm not sure. You see, here you don't have to understand it literally, but it says the sign in the prophecy is that God will talk to his people with a different tongue. Where is that new revelation in a different tongue? From God. God is talking. I don't want Paul talking. I don't want James talking. I don't want Peter talking. I want to open the book and say, I, the Lord, say this. That's it. Where is that kind of revelation? I'll get back to you. Inshallah, we'll manage. We never hear from them. We never hear from them. What is wrong? What is wrong? What is wrong with them that they can read all this and they never come back to answer? But you know what? You know who will take this seriously? Good Christians, they will take this. And there are. Well, you were good Christians before. Right? When you heard the truth and you recognized the truth, what did you do? You accepted it, right? You took it to heart. There are so many people like you out there. There are so many people. Good at heart. Muslims at heart. They're living their lives not knowing. You were one of them before. And then Allah saved you, alhamdulillah. Right? And then, someday, someone told you something, even simple, and it made the difference to you. It made you think, huh? What? What are you talking? Really? Huh? This is what, I never looked at it this way. I never seen it. And then the person began his search. I will conclude with this. And guess what? We only dealt with four prophecies. There are, and now, five prophecies. There are still 11 more prophecies about Ramadan in the Bible. Subhanallah. 11 more. And just these four are enough. And remember Isaiah 66. Right? And there could be even more than the 16 that I just came to know about recently. Allah knows best. But whatever verse you use, go and write to your family. Write letters, man. Write letters to your family. Or, you know, sometimes you get a cassette and you put a recorder. Hello, honey, how are you? I'm missing you. Talk to your wife. We send our wives back home cassette, audio cassette tape, right? Today they use CDs and digital files, or you use Skype. But if you don't have access to this, buy a recorder and talk to your wife. Thank you, brother. You know what? I'm talking to you on this Friday, you know, and I just came from a class in which I heard a crazy Saudi talking about Ramadan in the Bible, and he said this, and he said, please go and tell the priest to find out whether this is true or not, and I wanted to share it with you. Make the priest hear this and hear his reply and come back to me. You know, I hear my brothers tell me, those who embrace Islam, many of you are having problems with families, especially with wives. Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm married too, and I'm not a new Muslim, and we have problems. We get caught all the time. We all have problems. Sometimes, most of the time actually, I have to confess before the camera, we create the problems for ourselves. If you are a married man, you are in a big trouble. Alhamdulillah. Imagine if you chose to become a Muslim and your wife is not happy about that. She has other calculations. She's going to give you hell. It's not already. And then your in-laws and then the entire village. How are you going to deal with that? You're always on the defense. I'm talking generally. You're always defending your faith. You're always, and then when the time comes and you want to go back home, you're worried. What's going to happen now? You're going to get into debates, fights. Men, don't wait till the time you go back. And then you have 10,000 questions waiting you. What do you think of Bin Laden? What do you think of Abu Sayyaf? You know, all these questions. Don't wait. What do you think of jihad? They're going to declare jihad on us? Don't wait for all that. Your wife asks you, are you going to get any way book up? They're going to make me the deal? Don't wait for all this. From now, today, talk to her on the phone if you get Skype, chat, record a message, and share what you learned with her. Honey, darling, my beloved wife, my sweetheart, you know, my daughter. Talk to your son if he's able to understand. You know, he's a teenager or a young man. Son, I learned this today from the Bible. Go look it up. And ask our priest or, you know, your godfather in the church about this. Find out if it's true, because I find it to be very true. If your son doesn't want to read the Quran, father, I'm not interested in Islam. Keep your Islam to yourself. Make your son read the Bible. Maybe the Bible will bring him to the Quran. You never know. Believe me, the Bible has led so many people to Islam. People with open minds and open hearts. So whatever knowledge you have from the teachers this Ramadan, go share it with your family members. Don't leave them. You know, talk to them nicely. Tell them, I learned this today. What do you think? Maybe that person is wrong. Let me go and correct him. You know, tell that Arab guy, hey, you're wrong. You twisted the Bible. I got a reply from your priest. So, inshallah, help us. Help us do this job, and may Allah help you. Thank you for bearing with me. And may Allah reward you big time for all that you do during this Ramadan. May Allah guide our loved ones. May Allah open their hearts. May Allah bring them to the truth. May Allah make them see it. It's not impossible for Allah. No. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do not forget your loved ones and your family members this Ramadan. No matter how much, you know, shaitan comes to you and you almost lose hope. This is the last 10 days. Yeah? And think of them every night till the end of Ramadan and beyond. That may Allah guide them. So we pray together for all the Muslims to be guided. Ameen. For all of them to come and study and examine the whole book first and see for themselves. And allow me to finish very quickly with this. I need to say this because it's going to be on tape. Is your Quran 2 weeks that you use my Bible? No, see, again, I have to say this very quickly. We Muslims believe in the previous scriptures. Because we Muslims believe in all of the prophets of God. We believe in them. The prophets of Bani Israel, the children of Israel, Solomon, David, Jesus Christ, Jonah, John the Baptist, Yahya alayhi salam, and Elijah, and on and on and on. Moses alayhi salam, Harun, and the list goes on. We believe in them, we love them, we will. And the books that God gave them, we believe in them. We believe in the Torah. We believe in the Psalms, God's revelation to Prophet David, Dawood. We believe in the Gospel, God's revelation to Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. And finally, the last and final book is the Holy Quran. If you have such a thing as the Old and New Testament, we have the last testament. We have the last testament. So we believe in the previous scripture. We have something in common. So we are using what agrees with the Quran from your book to help you open your eyes and think and contemplate. If you think you are wrong, please get back to us, respond. Don't say, inshallah, bukra malaj. Tomorrow I'll see you. God willing, and you never come back. May Allah bring them back. Ameen. Thank you very much. JazakumAllah khairan. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Ameen. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.